Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, today we're going to talk about one of the more common principles used in sports psychology, and that is the idea of visualization.
Visualization.
Yes.
Not something I've used very much.
Right.
But you do.
Yeah, yeah.
In your coaching?
In my coaching, in with the work that I do with some of my athletes, but I use it myself as well.
Do the your high school, they're high school kids.
Okay. Most of them. Mm-hmm.
Do they respond? Do they use it well? Have they learned to use it?
Some do. Yeah.
Do they?
Mm-hmm. Some do. Others. My experience is that, like a lot of cognitive behavioral psychology approaches, lots of self-help types of approaches.
Right.
People hear visualization and tend to foo-foo it because they say, so many people talk about it. It's
right.
Like, whatever.
Right.
But when it's used appropriately, it is an incredibly powerful tool.
It is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we talk about the neuropsychology of sports. Mm-hmm. Years ago, there were books written on neuropsychology of sports, and that is that you have to, first of all, be able to think it in order to be
right.
able to do it,
mm-hmm.
that whole concept. And so if you think about whether it's pitching a baseball mm-hmm. or kicking a soccer ball or hitting a tennis ball, or hitting a golf ball, much of it is mental.
Right.
And in fact, we know from neuropsychological studies that even thinking about something will activate the muscles that
mm-hmm.
do that.
Exactly.
It doesn't activate them to the point where they move, but there is a muscle twitch,
right.
imperceptible perhaps, mm-hmm. just by visualizing what you're doing. So there
exactly.
is this mind-muscle, this brain-muscle connection
yes.
that you can activate. And that's what visualization is doing.
Absolutely.
Correct? Okay.
Absolutely. And that's what I work to teach my athletes is that it's sort of like practicing without having to practice because
right. Right.
when you visualize it, and we're going to talk about what visualization means in just a moment, but
mm-hmm.
when you're adequately visualizing the process,
right.
your brain is functioning in a pretty similar way to when you actually perform that
when
behavior.
When you actually do it.
And so it is very much so like practicing without actually engaging in the behavior.
Well, I know professional athletes talk about this all the
mm-hmm.
time, that
mm-hmm.
they will sit in a locker room
mm-hmm.
and they will go over in their mind how to do certain things. They focus
right.
on the process.
Right.
And that actually gets their body
right.
ready
right.
to perform the things that they're visualizing.
Right. And one such athlete who's talked about that was Pele.
Pele.
Mm-hmm. One of the most famous and well-known
yeah.
soccer players ever.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about one of his rituals, one of his routines before a match would be to go into the locker room a couple of hours before he was supposed to be there. And
mm-hmm.
he would just kind of sit in the locker room and with his lay there with his eyes closed and everything and play the match before
right.
he plays
right.
the match.
That's how they describe
mm-hmm.
it. That's how professional athletes describe it.
Right.
The football players, baseball players, tennis players.
Right. Mm-hmm. I read that Lou Holtz, who was the coach for Notre Dame for
when he was their coach.
Right. One of the things he would do was the night before the football game, so
mm-hmm.
usually Friday nights, he would have the players come in and they would sit in this big room with the lights dim.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wore their pads or anything like that. But they would visualize and play all the plays of the match or all the plays
okay.
of the game, all the things that they would expect to do. So,
okay.
And he would walk them through the game before they got there, before they even
wow.
started to play the game. So
the night before.
Right,
right.
Right. And so let's talk about what visualization is then.
Okay.
Visualization is, well, if you want to say it very simply, it is exactly what we're talking about, where you are thinking about the process of engaging in some behavior
mm-hmm.
without engaging in that behavior.
Right.
So if
right.
you're thinking about that you're playing tennis, you know, the way that you're holding the racket and, you know, sort of your forehand stroke or your backhand stroke or your serve or whatever the case may be, you're thinking about that particular behavior. And I think that
when you think about it very simply like that, that's why a lot of people sort of foo-foo it and brush it off. It's like, oh, well, you know, I think about that stuff all the time.
So yesterday we talked about process.
Right.
You have to think about the process. Mm-hmm. So visualization is a way of doing that,
right,
of thinking about the process, mm-hmm, picturing in your mind what it should look like.
Right.
Like we tell tennis players, picture in your mind what it should look like.
Right.
Right. And mm-hmm, then you start activating those, yeah, neurons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. And that segues very nicely to the way visualization should work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not simply thinking about the game, not simply thinking about the process. What you want to do or need to do for visualization to be really effective is you need to think about it in as much detail as possible.
Oh,
and what you figure out and what you see very quickly is that a lot of times the emotion and extrasensory stimulation that you get during the match or during a tournament or something, those will come along at the same time. So when I'm working on it with my soccer players, for example, I will have them close their eyes and you'll say, okay, we're at the beginning of the match. You know, what position do you play? Okay, I play left mid. Okay, so imagine yourself out on the left-hand side. How far are you going to be away from the center circle? And you know, where are you going to be located?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what does it feel like to have your...
They've already done it once, in a sense.
Exactly. You know, what does it feel like to have your boots on? And what does the grass feel like? And what is it... you know, what is your body telling you? What does your body feel like just before the referee blows his whistle? And then, okay, so then he blows the whistle and then there's the pass back and then this happens. And so you're walking through it in great detail.
Right.
So you can, you feel it. And the players even talk about it. They can feel the excitement. They can feel their heart rate increase a little bit. And they can feel that same type of excitement that they feel just before the start of a match. And then we can talk about, okay, so what do you do when you have the ball and an opposing player comes up? You know, how do you move your body? How do you do this? And so, yeah, you're basically playing the match in as much detail as possible in your mind.
Right.
And when you do that, there's a whole slew. Is that a good word? A whole slew of things that happen
in
neurobiologically.
In your brain.
Right.
Right.
And for when you're going to play the match. It reduces some of that performance anxiety because you've already played it
It
reduces the stress and it increases the decision-making speed because you know, okay, when somebody comes up on me, this is exactly what I'm going to do next. Or in tennis, you know, when I have this type of serve coming at me, this is how I respond, or this is how I'm going to move.
You know, I'm thinking about figure skaters in the Olympics or gymnasts.
Right.
They do those floor routines,
right,
or a skater does that, the routine, the mandatory routines. That's what they would do.
Mm-hmm.
They would go through each piece of the routine in their head over and over and over, which lays down those neural tracks.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when you think about, and this is why I think visualization was such an important thing to somebody like Pele.
Mm-hmm.
For Pele, and this is pretty, I'm not the one that came up with this idea, but for somebody like Pele, he was a tremendous athlete. He did things that nobody else had ever done before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because he could see himself doing that.
Okay.
But you know what he has been unable to do that many other people of far less caliber can do? Coach. He can't teach somebody else how to do those things.
Oh. Okay.
He knows how to do it because his he rehearsed it and he trained his body to do it with such precision that he could do all of these things. But he doesn't have the, and I'm going to say vocabulary, but it's not because he doesn't know how to talk. It's because he doesn't know how to explain what he's doing. He just knows his body to get his body to do this.
Right.
And so when you do visualization, you want to think about and have your body experience it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily have to put words to it.
Right.
You want to have your body experience it. And
that's really interesting because the brain does have two memory systems.
Right.
It has a motor memory, a procedural memory, and it has declarative memories.
Right.
And what Pele is saying is, my motor memory, my motor system is completely intact,
right,
and I could do all that. but he couldn't translate it into sentences and verbal instructions.
Right. Right.
Interesting.
And so there have been people who talked about Pele trying to teach them something. And he just says, then you just do it.
Right.
You just do it. And it's like, well, where do I put my foot? What do I, you just do it.
Your body will know.
Right.
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 But most bodies don't know.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Because he went through that process of visualization. And then you have somebody who, you know, like Jose Mourinho, who is a very well-known soccer coach who's never played professional.
And that
he's
may
never
be,
played the game professionally
at that
level. And
that may be why non-players sometimes make good coaches, because they are able to articulate. Mm-hmm. I always used to say that I was not good in math as a student, but I was very good at teaching it because I understood why, because I wasn't a good math student, I understood why better how to teach it, because I knew what I didn't know and what I needed. What instruction I needed, so I was able to provide that.
Right.
Whereas you were very good in math,
and
you just don't understand why somebody can't see it.
Right, right.
It
just makes sense.
No,
yeah.
It doesn't. But that might make it. But you taught math, didn't you?
Yeah,
you did it
okay.
Right?
So visualization goes beyond just thinking about what you're going to do. The more precise, the more detailed, the more integrated your thoughts and visualization can be to reality, the better.
For proof of this, that you can actually make neurons do something, even if you is if you imagine yourself biting into a lemon, you will begin to salivate.
Those are your,
because you're activating those neurons.
Right.
So you're doing the same thing.
Right.
With motor skills.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're activating those neurons.
Yeah. So we have two articles that we've linked in the show notes for this. One is about visualization techniques in general. The other is about this other possible use for visualization, where they found that visualization and using visualization techniques can help speed the process of injury healing. That by thinking about in good detail, visualizing the process of your body healing itself, your body does heal faster. And so
you think about sending those healing elements to the injury.
Right.
You can actually accelerate the process.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a fascinating process, because it's not just. Again, it's not the blah, you're just thinking about it. We're talking about some really strong evidence that that detailed visualization, detailed using different forms of imagery, can be extremely beneficial and not only improving your performance. And again, we're talking about performance in sports, but this would also go for performance on tests at school.
Right.
You know, if you imagine sitting down and taking a test before you get to school that day, when you actually sit down and take the test, your anxiety is going to be less. You're going to sort of be better prepared because you've already experienced it at least once before.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you have these positive thoughts in your head, you won't have simultaneous negative thoughts in your head.
Right.
So if you're focusing on what you should do, you'll be thinking less. Because that happens to players, is they start thinking about all the things, all the mistakes they can make.
Right.
Well, then your brain starts moving in that direction.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So check out those articles.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Visualization, it's a wonderful tool, and I think that if you master sort of the ability to use visualization and imagery in general, I think that you'll see a significant improvement.
Not just in sports performance, but across other areas.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay.
So, all right.
Excellent.
That's it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.